Welcome back to Boldly, though, the only Star Trek podcast that's going to live out the rest of its life as a dentist. I'm Science Officer Kelly.
I'm Security Officer Karen, and you know what? I think that sounds like a pretty good life.
Yeah, I think Klingons need dentistry. I think that's an honorable profession.
Absolutely.
How are you supposed to bite your enemies to death if your teeth aren't in good health?
That's right.
Come on, Martok. Martok.
Well, we've seen Ferengi sharpening their teeth, right? I don't know if we've ever seen a Klingon sharpen their teeth.
Well, you and I haven't yet. There's an episode later where we see a Klingon buy a secondhand Ferengi tooth sharpener.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's still something they got from the Ferengi, so.
At a space yard sale. I feel like it applies. They both got fangs.
Yeah, of course.
Hello.
Hello.
We're here to talk about Lower Decks.
Hi.
Season 3, Episode 2. The least dangerous game.
We'll have to talk about that. Which was, oh, we talked about it last time, didn't we?
With the least, like checkers is the least dangerous game?
Yeah, I think you decided checkers was it.
Yeah. I mean, you said not Jax, and I think you were right about that.
Yeah.
Well, with the pointy bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even crayons can be dangerous people.
Yeah.
I have rolled on crayons more times than I care to think about.
As a child or
no, as an adult? You step on two crayons with a shoe on and poof, you almost fall down. Your feet go off.
Sean and I try to kill you with crayons?
I'm sorry?
Did Sean and I try to kill you with crayons?
No, I think it's my grandchild who's trying to kill me with crayons. At the restaurants. That's where I think it's happened.
At the restaurants?
Yeah, they give a kid, you know.
Well, I know that they give the kid the crayons. Don't drop them on the floor.
Yeah. And then you step on them and you almost die. That is not the least dangerous game.
No, that's a medium to high danger game, apparently. Menu coloring. This episode opens with Martok. Martok! He's here. I can't wait for us to meet Martok for real.
Okay.
Fucking love Martok. He's also a D&D game. He's not real Martok. He's a Ferengi knockoff.
Yeah, is that would that be an RPG?
Yeah, it's a tabletop RPG they're playing. It is literally a D&D riff. It's Batleths and something else with a B, so it's B&B.
Yeah, that's right. It did say that, didn't it?
Yeah, but instead of one of our people being the game master or the dungeon master, it is electronic, fake, made by Ferengi Martok. Who DMs with real verve, I gotta say. Because this is Lower Decks, of course, they got Martok's actor back to voice Martok. I love you, Martok. I can't wait to meet you. But yes, our crew is, our beloved Lower Deck friends are playing some Batleths and whatever the hell. They're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm. And they're told that, warriors, you will all die on this quest. But will you die? With honor.
And they all go, rah. They're in, like, costumes, some of them. They're ready to have a great time. This is just the cold open. Yeah, they're just chilling.
Bormler has the head ridges.
He's got a wig on.
Oh, it's a wig. Okay.
Oh, all that black hair is not his.
Yeah, you're right.
When we come back, they're in the middle of playing.
Yes, because we've cued the music.
Yes.
Cold open. You said that.
Yes, I did. It's a short cold open. They're playing, like, they're rolling a d20. They're impressed with the game. Boimler assures them that it is not Martok, who's too busy being a chancellor.
Yep.
It's a fake, and he's been trying to get the Gowron expansion for ages. So fingers crossed we get to see that someday. Mariner is a little down. Because she feels like Ransom's really getting on her ass. Yeah, Tendi, because he was put in charge of her.
Tendi rolls and she's like, oh, I'm so happy we're all together. You know, we've had too many battles and court-martials. It's nice to be able to just, you know, take a break. And Mariner says, no break for me.
Yeah. And while she's complaining about Ransom, like, being on her ass and waiting for her to mess up, she gets a call from him. And he says that she needs to leave for their mission briefing soon so that she can be early. And it's in an hour. And he's like, you're almost late to being early. Yep. Rutherford is also going on this mission. He decides to just be normal early.
Yeah, I'm going to finish the game.
Yeah, not leaving. Right after she leaves, the game is pretty quickly interrupted again. I don't remember how this comes up, but they mention Vendome, who I guess maybe was on this show at one point. I don't know. When Boimler says he's the guy who gets hit with a spear on an away mission, I'm like, they did meet those crystal people and someone got hit by a spear. Was it Vendome?
No, he's a goofball.
Yeah, Vendome is a goofball, but Tandy and Rutherford are telling him that he's captain. And Boimler thinks that they are pranking him.
Yeah, he says, of what ship? Gullible?
The USS Gullible? And they're both like, no, the Inglewood?
And he says, oh, that's somebody else's ship. Oh, yeah, but he got turned into a baby or something.
Yeah, a temporal rift turned him into a baby. Vendome got a field promotion and it stuck. Yeah, Boimler is really shaken by this because Vendome was a goofball, apparently.
He breezed up the ranks, they were saying. Yeah,
Boimler, of your friends that might pull a prank like this on you, Tendi and Rutherford are tied for last. It's basically Mariner and then a million places and then these two. They're not prank people. But yeah, they like show him on the pad and he like reads, you know, that Vendome has shown great skill or whatever.
Yeah, and he says, oh, lucky bastard or something. And Tendi's like, no, he was always saying yes to new opportunities, good or bad. He was always volunteering for stuff.
He's putting himself out there, yeah. And Boimler's like, I do everything to try and someday be captain. Like, every action I take, other than perhaps at Dungeons & Dragons, is for me to advance and get better and, like, get noticed, and it doesn't work. Which is not entirely true, but he is not pleased with how things are going for himself. And she says, yeah, that thing about, you know, taking chances. And he's like, whatever, that's for suckers. And then when presented with a shortcut in Dungeons & Dragons, he doesn't take it, gets ambushed.
He says, heck no.
He gets ambushed, begs for his life like a dog, says Martok, and is not killed, but in fact spends the rest of his Klingon days as a dentist.
Yes, he's no longer a warrior, but he's now a dentist.
Yeah. This was a lot for one failed role. He doesn't even get a chance to try and do something else. So it's a bit like Dungeons and Dragons, and it's a bit like a choose-your-own-adventure book. You gotta flip back. Then we cut away from their game to the mission.
Yeah, the shuttle's leaving the Cerritos.
Yeah, and on it are Ransom and Mariner and Billups and Rutherford. And it turns out what's happening is that this planet they are visiting has malfunctioning orbital lifts.
Well, they have an ionic...
There's a field you can't beam.
Yeah, you can't use transporters at all. That's why they have the orbital lifts.
Yeah, the space elevators. The joke is that they keep calling them that, and it's like, no, they're orbital lifts. That's why they're taking a shuttle in. So the four of them get there. It's broken. It's one of many, but this one was busted, so they gotta fix it. And the Cerritos is currently hosting everyone who was stuck on the elevator until it gets fixed.
Yep.
And these four are here to deal with it. And Ransom then sends the engineers down to the surface of the planet to do the diplomatic stuff, while they, the non-engineers, are going to stay up here and fix the orbital lift. And everyone but him is unsure of this plan. Mariner's like, that's fucking stupid. And Billups and Rutherford are like, are you sure? And Ransom's like, yeah, we got this. You go do your thing.
And try not to have too much fun down there.
Right. And we do hear that this is one of those cultures that is fitness-based, where they jog around and kiss hello, like in TNG's Justice.
Yeah, she says, oh, is this one of those sexy cultures? And yes. He says, it is wellness-based.
Yes. When we see these people, they're like orange. They're basically a mix of the episode Justice, for the members of the Fuck Run planet, and the feeders of Vol. Like, they're orange or red with white hair. Like, so they're kind of a mix of these two that we've seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Ransom and Mariner are going to do the repairs. It's going to go great, I'm sure. Back on the Cerritos, Boimler is still bummed out about Vendome.
Yeah, I think they're in 10 forward now.
No, this is in the hallway, because he's hanging in his bed, and Tendi comes up having just showered. Oh, like, okay. She sits on his bed in her towel, and he's just like, oh, Vendome, like, his whole bridge crew's Bolians, that's cool. Why don't my plans work out? And Tendi's like, again, he said yes to things. Maybe you should try being a little more out there.
Yeah, he says, regardless of how carefully I plan and the things I try, you know, I'm worried I'm going to be an ensign for the rest of the rest of my life, then maybe don't do that.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't plan on entering the senior science track. Because, again, she was medical, and at the end of last season, she's been transferred into the science track. She's like, I didn't plan for that. It just happened. It's going great. I love it. And as they're having this conversation,
and this could be you if you try something new.
Yeah, another guy comes up and is like, hey, Boimler, we're going to play spring ball. We need, like, a wiry guy that's hard to hit. Are you in? Do you want to play spring ball with us? And Boimler very meanly is like, what, a bunch of muscle heads fucking trying to hit me in the face with balls? No, thank you. And this dude literally goes, you could have just said no.
Yeah, you didn't have to be so mean.
You didn't have to be a jerk about it. And Tendi looks him dead in the eye and goes, Vendome.
Boimler, Vendome.
Yeah, so Boimler's like, you know what? I take it back. I'm going to try it. And he's not good at it. We've seen spring ball on Deep Space Nine. This is what Julian and Miles played that one time. So when it's like, oh, we need a wiry guy who's hard to hit, I'm like, oh, a real Julian Bashir type. Although Julian was good at it. But they're wearing, like, the tight-fitting Julian outfits. Boimler's bad. He's doing a lot of screaming. I don't think his team wins. It's hard to tell with spring ball.
The guy who invited him in shacks, they bump chess, so, yeah.
But they're wearing different colors. I think they're just, like, good game.
Oh, okay.
And Shax literally, like, leans down to Boimler, who's, like, twisted up, sweating on the floor. And he's like, I was really impressed by that. And Boimler's like, my athletic ability? And he goes, no, you're screaming.
That sustained scream.
Yeah. I have a Bajoran dirge choir, and we're looking for a tenor.
No, soprano.
A soprano, of course. I don't know if Boimler is a soprano. I guess his voice does get kind of high.
I guess when you're looking for a Bajoran dirge soprano.
Yeah, dirges only get so high.
Yeah, he's it.
and he clearly kind of wants to say no, but he's thinking of Vendome, so he says yes. He's like, I will give that a try. And next we see
he says, let's get dirgy.
Yeah. Next we see is them singing the dirge. They're all weeping.
They're all crying.
Yeah. Yes. This seems to have gone really well.
It does.
Shax is, he's like, you've got a beautiful voice. That was wonderful.
You have honored the prophets.
Yeah. Yeah. If you ever need a favor, I'm one comm badge away. Presumably Boimler's going to keep doing this. But yeah, everyone's crying. Boimler has been moved. Like, it's not like he's not involved in it. And so it seems to have gone great. Cool choir meeting.
Yeah.
And then a weird guy comes out of the yeah. shadows.
And I don't know, have we met him before?
I do not remember this man, and you'd think I would, because he's a skeleton man.
Well, he looks like a mannequin. He looks like the ventriloquist doll.
Yeah, he's got very, like, defined, yeah. Like, the shadows on his face, he could have a wooden mouth that flops open, and then he says all your darkest secrets, or whatever it is that ventriloquist dummies do when pressed. He literally scares Boimler. Boimler knows this guy, and he's like, you cannot sneak up on
Lundy,
people like
quit
that.
Sneaking up on people.
He's like, ah, oh, that's so scary.
And he says, and this guy's can I guess your weight?
And Boimler's like, I guess? And he gets it pretty right. He's like, you seem like a healthy, like, 62 kilograms. And Boimler's like, actually, yeah. Wow. What about? We're like, what's that for? And he goes, well, I do a figure drawing class, and we need a skeletal boy to draw.
Quite the compliment.
Yeah. And it's like, are you interested in modeling for my still life class? Boimler is not, but he says yes.
He says, oil me up.
Yeah, I wish we'd gotten to see this. Just because I think it would be interesting. But there's only so many minutes in the episode. At this point, we go back to the orbital lift. Speaking of lift, Ransom is lifting a pipe. He's doing reps.
Yeah, I've got Mariner working on the elevator while Ransom is, I said working out, and then I crossed that off and said lifting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, this is barely lifting. He ends up, like, hopping up and putting this pipe in place. And he's like, could an engineer do that? And she's like, yeah, with a step stool. And they get a call from Rutherford and Billups, who are having a great time.
These are friendly people. They kiss instead of shake hands. Yeah, they kiss with tongues. Yeah, they kiss with tongues.
Yeah.
We got a dance scheduled, then a feast, then a drinking contest.
Yeah, they hang up to go judge a wrestling exhibition of some kind.
Well, Billups does ask, did you decouple the flow inverters first? Oh, of course I did.
Yeah. And he's tugging on his fucking collar. Ransom has fucked something up. Like, Billups is a little concerned. But it's like, no, you guys have a good time. They're getting like shoulder massages. He tells Billups, don't have too much fun, don't become a king down there. Yeah. Which means don't fuck. And Billups is like, I'm not gonna have time. There's too many other fun things to do. So they're having a great time. They're by a pool. Great time for them. Mariner's like, this was still a stupid choice.
So he says Starfleet isn't always about being fed fruit by I'm sorry, I can't read my writing, but with slightly different nose ridges, sometimes you got to get your hands dirty.
Yeah. So then we go back to the Cerritos, and this is the scene in their 10 forward, where Tendi's having a drink, and Boimler comes up, and he's had a great day. I'm so proud of him. I love Boimler so much, like whole heart love for Bradward. And he's like, yeah, you know, I've been getting out of my comfort zone. I've been saying yes a lot. He's like, it's been weird, but it's been great. And like, I got to know that this guy isn't scary anymore. Shax has thought I was cool and has a nice voice.
Owes me a favor.
Yeah, he owes me a favor. He does frame it like that. And it's like, gee, you're just getting friendlier with everybody. But he's like, this has done more for me than any of my fucking plans ever have. So new plan. I'm going to say yes to everything.
Well, attendees, you know, that's still a plan.
Yeah, it's a great plan, though. It's working out. And this is when he declares that he is not just Boimler anymore. He's Bold Boimler. And he's going to say yes to the very next thing anyone asks him to do. And Tendi's like, I don't think that's a great idea.
Cue the really big guy.
Yeah, cue a alien that is almost as tall as the ceiling. He's huge. He's hulking. He's wearing a face mask. He says in a deep, gravelly voice, hello, my name is Cranch. And
his... My species has an something...
Undeniable need to hunt.
Yep.
And he's supposed to be down on the planet, but the hunting elevator broke. Yeah, he had something scheduled, and he can't go. And so...
This delay is weighing on me. Would either of you be willing to be hunted?
And he's like, No. Teddy's like, oh, no, sorry.
Maybe Dr. Ta'ana can help you, though.
Yeah, and it's very funny the way she says no, because she is not nervous at all. She's like, oh, no, thanks. Maybe you can go see a doctor. Like, she's fine. We also were seeing the two of them in, like, Predator vision. Yes. Like, it's through his visor, and it has stuff on, you know, like symbols and sensors. When Cranch came up, Boimler did scream, and he's like leaning back against the bar, like panicking a little, but this is not enough to stop Bold Boimler. And he says, yes.
I'm going to say yes.
He's like, I agree to be hunted by you. And Tendi's like, you didn't, you know, maybe say yes to the next guy. Don't say yes to this. But Cranch is psyched. He opens up his helmet. He's got a scary chompy face under there. He roars. He rips out one of his own teeth.
He does.
He paints Boimler's forehead with his green blood.
Yep.
And tells him that he's like marked, you that he's the prey.
You are now my prey. The hunt begins in 1 hour.
And he's like backing away, and he's like, hur, 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 and like crouching down. And
then Boimler says something to the attendant. She says, what are you doing? You've only got an hour. Run, run, run.
Yeah, he finishes his drink and she's like, get the fuck out of here. And then he takes off screaming.
That doesn't last.
No. Oh, my boy. Back on the planet.
Billups is calling Ransom to say we have a diplomacy problem. He says, handle it.
Yeah. And he's like, well, we went in the wrong place wearing the wrong stuff, and like in the background a lady's like, how dare you go into the sacred temple without your navel showing. And Rutherford's like, I'm so sorry. And Ransom basically is just like, he gives very generic Star Trek advice, like tell him about the Prime Directive and how we respect their culture, and you know, ask to speak to who's in charge. And Billups and Rutherford are clearly in over their heads, but handle it, guys. Speak from the diaphragm, he tells them at some point.
I think that's later, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the kind of advice he's giving. And Mariner hears all of this and is like, we need to go help them.
It's not worth endangering these guys, right?
Whatever point you're trying to make.
It's stupid.
It's not worth their lives. And he's like, listen, not everything's fucking about you. You got to trust your superiors. She's like, ugh. And then she decides to go do something somewhere else so she doesn't have to look at him. Meanwhile, Ransom keeps, like, dropping things. He's not good at this part. Go ahead.
Bormla goes to
Yeah, Cranch is in his room, yeah. Like, getting ready. He's painting his face red. Mm-hmm. He, like, breathes candle smoke that inverts the color of his eyes, so they're mostly black now.
Ooh.
And Boimler's like, hey, and he should have had the blood on his head the whole time, but he has wiped it off. Boimler, that was blood he put there for a reason.
Well, that's also scent trail. I would take it off as well.
I guess maybe. Mm-hmm. You're right. Huh. I'm going to get fucking killed when it comes to the most dangerous game.
What do you want, prey?
And he's like, I just wanted to make sure you meant like hunting, like metaphorically, right? And this guy like stands up, the room's dark, and he goes, there are three kinds of prey. And he's like putting weapons on his back as he's talking, like an axe and a spear. And he goes, the kind that you are like, that are immobilized by their own fear. And then there's the kind that scampers around and hides, just delaying the inevitable. And Bormla goes, what's the third kind? And he goes, a little kind of winged lizard thing. It doesn't really apply in this situation. And Boimler's like, okay.
So when does the hunt start?
Now.
It already has.
And he fucking goes at him. And Boimler screams and runs away. There's a bit with a boomerang, like a super smart boomerang that follows him around that he... ducks by diving into cetacean ops and shorting it out. The whales yell at him for bringing his dirty shoes in here. And he's like, someone's trying to kill me. One of them goes, God, he's such a drama magnet. But Cranch comes in there. Boimler gets out. He eventually, and it's just a lot of like running around screaming. Eventually he runs into Captain Freeman.
Captain, you got to help me. I'm being hunted.
She's like, on my ship? What? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So she calls security. For security. Yep. And he mentions that it was Cranch. Oh, thank
God. It was a big guy named Cranch. Oh, security delayed that order.
Yeah. I had a lovely brunch with Cranch this morning. He's a great guy.
He's quite the charmer.
Yeah. And he's like, but he's hunting me. And she's like, well, you said you agreed to it.
We have to respect his culture.
Yeah. Too bad is basically her response. And then Cranch comes around the corner on the ceiling and she goes, oh, he's on the ceiling.
Oh, he's good. You better run.
Yeah. And Boimler gets bought a little time when Cranch thanks her for the mimosas. And she's like, anytime.
And as he bounds away, she says, happy hunting.
Yeah. So we leave them.
Now Rutherford's calling. We could really use some help.
Yeah. It turns out Billups
has an outie.
Yeah, they ended up showing their belly buttons eventually, and he has an outie, and that is punishable by getting thrown in the sentient volcano. And also, you know, Ransom's like, have you spoken to their leader? And Rutherford's like, well, not really, because either their leader is an ancient god computer or a telepathic baby.
Oh, sounds like you're narrowing it down.
Yeah, Ransom's like, good job, you're getting close. Speak from the diaphragm, just say you want, you know.
Yes, straighten your spine.
Parlay.
Yep. Straighten your spine. Speak from the diaphragm. Demand parlay.
Yeah. And Rutherford goes,
and
okay.
And explain to them why they can't sacrifice Billups.
And like,
I'll try.
These tablets have camera phones, so we turn and see Billups being drug away up a up a mountain.
Help me. Help me.
Yeah. And we hear Rutherford start to project from the diaphragm, and then he hangs up. And Ransom goes back to fumbling around. And Mariner has overheard this and decides that she's going to skydive to the surface.
Mariner goes to save the day.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just going to do it myself. This is so fucking stupid. So she puts on a suit. She yells, I'm coming, Ruthy. Jumps out the elevator.
Ring, 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 ring.
And yeah, she's diving. She's juking. She's having a great time. And then, yes, her phone rings. And it's Ransom. And, he can hear. He's like, what's that noise? And she's like, I had to open a panel. And he's like, well, I gotta be honest. I know earlier I said I was not doing this to prove a point. I was, though, doing it to prove that you would eventually disobey my orders because you thought you knew better. But you haven't. You've done great today. You haven't gone rogue. So
let's go help our guys. I'll meet you in Section 8.
Yeah, I'll see you where you're supposed to be at. We got to go save our guys. And
so she pulls her parachute so she can slow down and hits the side of the building.
Yeah, slams right into the side of the building and then has to climb her way back up.
And she looks up and she goes, shit, shit, shit.
Yeah.
And then she gets somewhere else and she looks up, fuck.
Fuck. It's a bunch of stairs. Later we see that it's like a rock climbing wall.
Yeah, she's having to climb a rock wall.
She's like, this fucking, fuck this wellness-based society. Fuck them. And she's just exhausted.
Yep. She's sweaty. Sweaty.
That's what happens with her for the rest of the episode, basically, until the very end. We cut back to Boimler.
He's still running from...
still running from Cranch. Uh-huh. He eventually, like, gets around him and hides in the room they hang out in, like the little storage bay or whatever, where they've got their ship and they hang out. And in the scrabble to hide, he knocks over their D&D game and turns on Martok. And he's like, shh, shut the fuck up, shush. But hologram Martok tells him that the time has come to fight. That you cannot back down. And in your last moments, do not let your enemy define who you are. And Boimler's like, this hologram's fucking right. So he arms himself. He grabs a bunch of tools from out here. He wipes something. Oil, I guess.
It's black, whatever it is, yeah.
On his face. Mm-hmm. And then he comes roaring out of here. And he tells Cranch that the hunter has become the hunted. And that he better start fucking running.
And I am bold Boimler.
Yeah, and then he gets speared in the shoulder, pinned to the ground.
And I wrote a little unhappy face.
And he's screaming.
Oh my God, he says.
Yeah, Cranch comes up and goes, the hunted always becomes the hunter. That's a tale as old as time. And he's like, but now the hunt is over. And Boimler's like, oh my God, please don't kill me. But Cranch just pulls out like a camera on a selfie stick to take a picture with his win. And he says, like, congratulations, you were great prey. That was great. I feel so much better.
Yes, you were excellent prey, but I do have some notes.
I have some notes. And Boimler's like, what?
Can we cover those in sick bay?
And he's like, here's the thing. The hunter always becomes the hunted, but you shouldn't just, like, announce it. You lose some of the momentum there. You should just, like, do it instead of saying you'll do it. Other than that, though, great time. You did a great job.
You have earned, like, my respect, and I will pass a long high praise to your captain.
Right. And he's like, you've earned my respect, Bradward Boimler. Aww. And Boimler's like, wow, really? And he's like, yes. And he says thank you and then passes out because he does still have a spear all the way through his shoulder, pinning him to the floor.
And they watch you, you know, they show you the blood spurting out. Spurt, 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 spurt.
Yeah. And then Cranch takes one more selfie for the boys at home.
After he passes out.
Yeah. Mariner makes it back to Section 8 just in time. And
he says, oh, like, sorry, I'm late. I had to go to the little commander's room.
And she's like, that's great. She's sweating buckets. I've just been here the whole time. And he goes, all right, here's the thing. I know this is crazy, Mariner, but we don't have a shuttle. So we're going to have to skydive down there. So she has to put a suit back on. And they skydive down and he's whooping
and hollering.
Wow,
that is a wild idea, sir.
Yeah, he's whooping and hollering the way she was the first time down. She literally falls asleep. But they get down there in time, right as both Rutherford and Billups are being hung over the sentient volcano's maw. Turns out that this society is run by this sentient volcano, a telepathic baby, and an evil computer. And Mariner's like, don't you think you're overdoing it? And the volcano lets her know it allows for a system of checks and balances. And it's not going great because they're bagging on the computer and the baby and the volcano, but Ransom's like, hey, you guys are a fitness-based society, right? And they're like, it's true. And he's like, well, check this out. And he rips his shirt off and he is ripped.
And he says, I demand parlay.
And they're like, oh, because they're a wellness-based society, they're like, oh, you're very wise. Look at all those muscles.
Yeah, the volcano loves him.
Yeah, everyone's very, the computer never talks, it just beeps hilariously. Yeah, but everyone's like, wow, check that guy out. So he saves the day by being buff as fuck. Good job, Ransom. Back on the Cerritos, Ransom and Mariner have a bit of a debrief where he sort of apologizes to her for doing, you know, being such a pushy jerk the way he was today, because he was trying to prove a point because of all her previous insubordination. And, you know, he's like, so that wasn't fair of me. And I, you know, this does not erase everything you did before. And she's like, well, for what it's worth, it's like, I want to stay here. Like, I want to be on the Cerritos. Like, I am making an effort now. And he's like, okay, I'll keep that in mind, but I still got my eye on you. And she's like, for what it's worth, that was pretty cool down there, what you did. That was pretty impressive. And he's like, ah, stop trying to butter me up.
Yeah, and then save it for, like, your personal log.
Yeah, you can't influence me. And then she leaves and he smiles a little bit. And he's like, yeah, it was impressive.
And he makes a...
He flexes to himself.
Yeah, flexes, yeah. Makes a muscle.
Yeah. We go back to D&D.
And she says, she said, well...
Ransom
sucks and I hate him. Well, yeah, it sounds like your day went okay.
Yeah, and then Boimler comes back and he's like, Dr. Ta'ana basically said my shoulder will never feel quite right, but I'm fine. And they're like, wow. And, you know, he explains that Bold Boimler is here to stay. Like, this whole day has taught him, say yes to more things. I think he says everything. And Tendi's like, I really don't think that was the lesson here. What with your nerve damage? Maybe moderation? He's like, old Boimler is into moderation. That didn't work. Bold Boimler it is. And then he says that his character, who I guess he rolled up a new character in D&D, is going to walk into the bar, you know, and demand blood wine.
Right.
And he is killed with his own arm that the bartender rips off.
So he is dead, but it is a non-honorable death since he was killed by his own hands.
And everyone looks at him because he was just being bold. And he's like, his eyes are just going back and forth looking at everybody. And he goes, whatever. Like,
I'm still bold.
Like, that's fake. It's a game. And then it turns out they need to buy an expansion. And the end of the episode is Martok rattling off all the ways they can buy an expansion.
You could do a subscription or you could buy your adventures a la carte.
Yeah. And, you know, Ferengi black market tax not included. And Rutherford can't believe that they don't have the expansion they need. And that's the end of the least dangerous game. So, Mom.
Yes?
What did you think of the least dangerous game?
I had a good time, but what was the least dangerous game?
Boimler is the least dangerous game, it turns out. Although I wouldn't want to fight him.
No, he's got permanent damage to his shoulder. I wouldn't call that the least dangerous game.
Well, okay, but he personally he did not participate in the least dangerous game. He is the least dangerous game. Because the most dangerous game is not hunting humans. The most dangerous game is man. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
It's a question. Okay is not an answer that gets me where I need to go. Yes or no?
Try again.
All right, so you know how deer is game?
Yeah.
And rabbits are game?
Oh.
Man is game, and so, man is the most dangerous game, but Boimler specifically is the least dangerous game.
Got it. Now
although,
I've
again,
got it.
He's bold now.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know if I'd take... I mean, one, I wouldn't fight Boimler unless someone made me, because I love him too much.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But also, he's tall. I don't think he'd fight dirty, though. I might have an advantage. I've got a low center of gravity.
Are you willing to fight dirty?
I'm willing to fight dirty from the word go. This is for my life. He's so tall. Yeah. So, no, Boimler's the least dangerous game, at least for a while.
Then that makes perfect sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy to be here. I like this episode.
Yeah.
I love Boimler, obviously. Of course. I've said it many times.
Yes.
This is like an important step for Boimler. Deciding to say yes to more things and be a little bolder is something that carries on through now for him, I think. Like, I remember looking back on the season being like, he really was bold Boimler, huh? And it's not as if he hasn't been bold before, but like, the fact that his boldness is couched not just in volunteering to get hunted, but in volunteering to just try things sometimes. Like, it's just really lovely. And I'm a person who needs that reminder from time to time. And so it's nice to see it. It's nice to see it work out for the most part, other than the nerve damage.
Other than that.
I think the Mariner side of the story is fun, too. I will say, though, that this is not, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, I don't think. But this was somewhat undercut by me better remembering Ransom and Mariner's dynamic in season 4.
Oh.
I was like, oh, right. They're not that combative. And then it's like, no, that this is before that. They got to get to season 4. We got to get through season 3 first. He is actually on her ass and trying to undermine her in a way that he is, spoilers, I guess, he is not in season 4. So I'm like, right, the twist is that he's supporting her. I'm like, no, that is not the twist. The twist is there is no twist. He is kind of being a dick about it. Yeah. I don't know. It's fun. I like it.
Okay, great. Yeah, me too.
The D&D is fun.
Yeah, that's cute. That's adorable.
It's really cute. It's fun to play games with your friends. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just true. I liked Cranch. I think it'd be cool to see Cranch again someday.
I love Cranch. Yeah, you need to tweet a picture of Cranch.
I'll tweet a picture of Cranch.
Probably without the visor with all the red paint.
Oh, yeah. We got to see his teeth.
And I did want to say this. So, yeah, he ripped out a tooth to Mark Boimler with his green blood. And then later that tooth was back.
Yeah, they're hunters. He does say they respect life above all else. That's why they hunt. And Boimler pinned to the floor with the spear is like, oh, good.
Great. Can I go? Can I go now?
Yeah, can we? Sick bay? Yeah. It's a fun time.
Yes, it was.
Good episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have anything else to say about it.
I don't think so.
It's a reminder to be a bold Boimler in my own life.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just, please, Kelly, don't let anybody hunt you.
I'm going to take a Tendy-like tack to that. I'm not saying yes to absolutely everything. But, so like Rose and I were talking, we're going out to California, and I said I wasn't going to do something, and I don't remember what it was. It was something silly. And she's like, well, how do you know? And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, well, it might happen. Then I said I wouldn't buy a bunch of Star Wars stuff. And she's like, how do you know? How do you know you won't be filled with the spirit of Star Wars? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that I won't be. But I guess I don't know. And I should leave myself open to experiences. Because you never know when you might be filled with the spirit of Star Wars. It's not happening. But it might.
But it's okay to keep yourself open. That's right.
Yeah. Also, on the record, if I buy a plush Jabba the Hutt, that is not being filled with the spirit of Star Wars. I just have always thought that little plush guy's cute.
Aw.
He's cute. And he'll fit in my carry-on luggage.
There you go.
In a way, a popcorn bucket will not, probably. I like a big slug guy. Sue me. Don't sue me. I'm not worth much.
Oh.
Like, monetarily, I am not. You can't sue me for intangibles. You can't take this podcast away from me.
Absolutely not.
It gets me nothing except the joy of watching Star Trek and talking to my mom.
Yay.
And these are things you can't take away from me.
That's right. You may not.
You may not.
You may not and you cannot. You can go to fucking hell.
Mom will fight you.
Oh, yeah.
Mom is not and has never been the least dangerous game.
That's correct.
You're on the most dangerous game end of things.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Did you ever read that story?
What?
The Most Dangerous Game?
No.
It's a short story or like a novella? Really?
No. I need to read it, obviously.
All right. I was going to tell you how it ends, but now I won't if you're going to read it.
Yeah, don't tell me.
It's got to be around on like online.
Yeah.
It's old. Hold on, I'm going to Google it. Maybe okay. It's not as old as I think, but I'm pretty sure it's old. The Most Dangerous Game. Wow. Wow! It's 100 years old this year!
Well, then it's time for me to read it.
The Most Dangerous Game is a short story by Richard Connell. January 19th, 1924. So yeah, that's got to be public domain.
Yeah. All right, I'll look for it.
Yeah, it says short story. I don't know how many pages it is.
That's okay.
It entered the public domain in 2020.
Nice. Go nuts.
It's also sometimes called The Hounds of Zaroff, which is not as good a title.
Okay.
I guess there's a guy named Zaroff in it. I mean, hounds are okay. It's not a slam on hounds.
Absolutely not. When would hounds not be okay? They're always okay.
Probably. Unless, like, a really confined space. Like a starship. Maybe you shouldn't have brought your beagle to space. Are beagles hounds? They're sporting dogs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's a hound.
No, they're different groups.
Yeah, I don't think a beagle howls like that.
They make noise, though.
No, I know, but I don't think they howl, which is, you know, don't even get me started on huskies. Apparently, huskies
they're chatty.
Do nothing but talk.
Row, row, row.
And howl and row, make row, all row. Kind of racket, yeah.
Yeah, they're chatty. You've never wanted a husky, right? You can't get a husky.
I don't want a husky, no. They're too hairy.
That's right. You can't shave a husky, and they need friends. You can't have, like, a dog husky by itself. Anyway, we don't have any emails.
Okay.
But if you'd like to email us, you can do so at boldly, though, at gmail.com. That's boldly, T-H-O.
You can also get at us on Twitter.
Yep. Same handle next week for us in 2 days. Because my trip will not stop Star Trek.
No, it won't.
I was like, Mom, are we going to skip a week? And you were like, So the answer was no.
That's right. The answer was no.
The answer? Well, Mom, who just has to watch an episode and get on the mic, was like, absolutely not.
That's right.
We're watching Strange New Worlds. We're finishing up a cycle. We're almost done with season one of Strange New Worlds, if you can believe it.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we'll be watching.
You caught me off guard. A cycle? Oh, you meant our cycle.
Our cycle. A motorcycle. A bicycle. A unicycle. A light cycle. I'm out of cycles. A spin cycle. I wasn't out of cycles.
The moon cycle.
Season 1, Episode 9 of Strange New Worlds. All Those Who Wander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have they been in a cycle? I can imagine they're wandering because they're dizzy.
It's very dizzy. The Enterprise's spin cycle got them. The disc spun round and round and round.
Oh, gosh.
Like a gravitron.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the word. Gravitron. That was the word.
Yeah. Gotta remember gravitrons.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Until then, engage.
Bye, everybody. Happy Easter.
Bye.
I have a little Easter egg as I'm recording. My little record button is an Easter egg.
True.
I get all the cute stuff.
You do. I just get a thing that works that I didn't have to pay for.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Not a single thing.
Nope.